And you may join us in the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. If you want to shoot us an email with comments or questions, you can do that at comment@spingola.email. Or you can call into the program. The first six numbers are 512-716, and you can call 1-603-1883 or 1-897. Our guest today is Kim. She is an advocate, has been for 20 years, for victims of domestic violence and sexual abuse. And we're talking today, about the LDS Church. And we do have a caller. So, Kim, should we take Andy in Texas?
Hi, Andy.
Andy. Hey, how are you guys doing today?
We're not guys.
I know. Okay, how are you ladies doing today?
That's my pet peeve.
That's not a good way to start a conversation off, huh?
No.
Hey, well, you know what? I don't want you guys to, you know, just shoot me in the foot or anything like that, but, you know, this Jesus Christ guy who started this Christianity thing and stuff, I mean, if you really give it some thought, he did a lot to divide us all because we have all these denominations that believe in this particular guy, but we have different denominations, and that separates us, you know, keeps us separated and stuff. But I was baptized a Mormon as a very young kid, and I was very scared to go to church there. But then again, my parents just dropped me off at the church, and, you know, we're supposed to go do our Sunday school and all this stuff. And I would always make an excuse. I had to go to the bathroom, and I'd roam around the church until church was over with, and my parents picked me up, and I'd go home. Having said that, again, I go back to the division of what, I mean, Jesus Christ is supposed to bring us together, and then all of a sudden we have all these denominations that separate us.
Well, I think that's men's doing. I mean, it's certainly not.
Oh, I concur. I concur, yeah. But it's the people that are coming. I mean, the Joseph Smiths, I understand, maybe it wasn't him, maybe it was Brigham Young, I don't know, I think it was Joseph Smith. He supposedly was in prison with a second grade education, and he deciphered all these.
He did have formal education.
Did he really?
Not much. He was schooled at home. He had.
But he was in prison when he deciphered the tablets, right?
There were no tablets.
In Massachusetts or whatever he said he deciphered, he came up with the Book of Mormon?
He said that he found some gold plates that nobody ever saw.
There we go, okay.
Despite the fact that there were 11 witnesses. Nobody ever saw them, although these 11 witnesses all related to each other, did sign a statement, but they had at that time what they referred to as a spiritual sight. In other words, nobody saw them with their natural eyes. They saw them in vision or with their spiritual eyes. So, anyway.
Well, but
see,
I mean,
what happens when you run around the church. You didn't attend your Sunday school class to learn
about
these golden plates.
I was scared of, I mean, these people talked about hell and burning in hell. I mean, the Baptist church scared me away. I mean, the first time I ever attended a Baptist church, they talked about how if you sin, you're going to burn in hell for the rest of your life and stuff. And so that just totally turned me off from religion. And I have a very spiritual relationship with God. And
well,
God,
great.
You know, those Ten Commandments, the very first one says, there shall be no God before me. And you know what? I think a lot of people are putting Jesus before them because they think that Jesus is part of God. But in the Old Testament, God supposedly said that we were all his son and daughter. So all of a sudden in the New Testament, we've got this new guy who's his only begotten son.
You know, I can understand where you're going, but I don't want to argue, you know, just...
Oh, well, no, I'm not trying to argue. I'm just merely telling you what my belief is. I certainly don't want to argue. You guys are sweet people. I love RBN. If I had the money, I would support y'all.
I'm glad you do, and I appreciate your calling in. And, religion is a very, it's a very scary thing because we go to a church and we are told what's going to happen to us. And how would these people know, for Pete's sake?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I appreciate you guys' time. Your ladies' time, my bad. Your ladies' time.
Bless your heart.
Thank you.
You guys have a great night, and I'll talk to you again. I'll call again.
Okay, Randy, thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. My other pet peeve is... people who come into my house or anybody's house and they bring their purse in and they set it on the kitchen table. And I'm thinking, you know, that purse has been on the floor in a ladies' room. Who knows where that purse is? And there's an advertisement on TV where this lady comes in from a funeral, and she looks like she's perspiring. She takes off her hat and puts it on the kitchen table and thinks, oh, sick. Oh, that's terrible. So I have some other pet peeves, but those are the two main ones for today.
I'll remember those, Sally. Ever come to your home, I okay. will not take off my sweaty hat.
Well, I know you're never going to call me a guy.
No, that won't happen.
Okay, that's good. Okay, let's see. What else did Joseph Smith do? Joseph told his victims that once they had given into that one, yeah, it said that once they had given into him, if they were to leave, they would be destroyed. Oh my gosh. Wow. So he had an ongoing relationship then. You know, yeah. Because I'm sure that once a victim had sex with him, they might think, what did I do that for? What was I thinking? But if he tells them that if they don't do this again, that they would be destroyed, and he's the prophet, and he's speaking for God. Whoa. Talk about using his position of trust.
Well, yeah, and that happens, and I think that baton was probably handed down to the next prophet and the next one and then to the bishops and the stake presidents, and I think that that's an ongoing issue. Like you said, with the Catholic Church, it takes place, but I would dare say I think it happens probably more often in the Mormon Church because we don't just have priests that are in that authoritative position. We have bishops, we have home teachers, we have stake presidents, we have elders' quorum presidents. We have an array of leadership, male leadership, that we're supposed to obey and trust. And as women, we're told we're not supposed to do some things without a priesthood holder present. I know my daughter went to girls camp and they had to have a priesthood holder there at girls camp. So there was one bishop there during girls camp because they had to have a priesthood holder there. And here's this bishop with this, and I mean, had he been a pedophile, he's got his pick. There's all these girls up in the mountains. Pick which one. Not that that happened. I'm not saying it did. But I'm saying that we can't do anything as females in that church without a priesthood holder's blessing first.
How true. How true. Wow. Alrighty. Let's see what else this horrible person did. And I mean, seriously, I once thought that he was a prophet. I feel so foolish for
I think we can't feel foolish for what we believed, and I think that I don't look at you as a foolish person because that brainwashing started and that beguiling started in little pieces, and then it grew, and by the time it became, by the time it had a whole grip on us the way that it did, we were completely immersed in it, and so you don't see it for what it is until you come outside of it, and it's like I feel like my eyes were opened. You know, now I'm actually seeing what it was, and I can't feel ashamed. I mean, I can't feel foolish or stupid. I have to be proud of myself for opening my eyes and seeing it now.
But that's part of the guilt. That's part of the guilt.
Yeah. And it stays with you for a little while, but it'll go. It'll go.
Another decade or so?
I hope not that long.
Okay, Joseph told his victims that the way to glorify God was through their consent. Oh, my gosh. He told his Joseph's victims thought of Joseph as a father figure. Joseph made his victims consent as a test to their faith. Joseph would prey on the vulnerable and orphans. Joseph taught his victims that even though their actions might feel wrong in their heart, it was still commanded by God. Oh, gosh, this, I can't believe, well, if Mormons, active Mormons, would go over this list, because there is a source, a citation for each and every one of these comments, and they're from LDS sources. And most of the apologists, not apologists, but most of the people who are revealing, such as Gerald and Sandra Tanner, most of their stuff, if not all of their things, all of their information, came right out of LDS sources. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's really kind of amazing. And we were told, oh my gosh, the Tanners, those were just evil, evil people, and my goodness, don't ever look at any of their stuff. And that's what how we were taught.
Yeah. Yep. I remember being told many times when I would go to my bishop and ask questions. It's so interesting to me because on the outside they say that we have our free agency and we're encouraged to ask questions. But when you go to your bishop and you ask questions, you're told to stop asking questions and to just believe. Just believe what we're telling you. Believe all this crap. Believe all this hogwash. And the brainwashing continues. And how can anybody who wants to have eternal salvation and wants to belong to this family group that the church becomes and wants to belong somewhere and have that sense of belonging and acceptance, how can anyone want to leave that when they're told that? You know, just listen to what I say and you'll be fine. Listen to what I say and you'll be fine. And so you become that sheep. And it happens just little bits at a time, little bits at a time, little bits at a time. And before you know it, you're completely indoctrinated in it.
Yeah. Wow. Let's talk about a little bit about indoctrination. I have another list. Excuse me. So I'm looking at a list of symptoms. Number one, this is effects of Mormons, psychs, minds of LDS religious indoctrination and Mormon psychological conditioning. Number one, feeling depressed and believing you shouldn't be depressed because, after all, you are a member of the one true Church of Jesus Christ. What do you say about that?
Do you know that the amount, you know, I have to say this by state because we all know that most of the Mormons are in Utah area, but Utah is like the number one state for antidepressant use and suicide.
Right. They are fourth in suicide rate. They're number four. I mean, and Mormons are supposed to be super happy.
Yeah.
And they...
Yeah. What does that say?
They're big consumers of Prozac.
Uh-huh. It makes you question a little bit, doesn't it?
Because, yes.
I think it's so sad. It's so sad. I think all the guilt that comes with trying to be a Mormon and trying to be a perfect... You know, for me, I always felt like I was never measuring up. I couldn't be the perfect wife. I couldn't be the perfect mom. I couldn't be the perfect church member. I couldn't be the perfect whatever calling I had at the time.
Sure.
I was always feeling less than, and the guilt and the shame and the embarrassment and just the draining of it all depressed me.
Okay, we have another caller. Let's take Randy in California. A lot of Mormons in California, too. Randy, welcome.
Yes, there are.
Yeah, hi there.
Hi.
Hi. So this is a show about Mormonism and sexual abuse, partly, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Where do you want me to start?
Just wherever you feel comfortable beginning, Randy.
Okay. Well, I was brought up in a household where my father was very fundamentalist and very strict. Pretty much put me into a submissive state, became very sheep-like, but also had pent-up, you know, repressed feelings that came out sometimes at school or whatever. I kind of acted like he treated me sometimes at school. But in seventh grade, it kind of set me up to be victimized by a teacher that started in seventh grade. He wore the temple garments, and he had a reputation at our school for being, his nickname, I don't know if I can use sort of colorful language, but...
Well, we're not supposed to, because we are, but you could spell it out.
Yeah, his nickname was, pretty much implied that he would do inappropriate things with himself behind his desk while he was sitting in class.
Yeah, you can say that word, masturbate.
Yeah. His last name was Joyce. We called him Jackoff Joyce, and the whole school knew about it. I have student friends of mine who reported him to the principal, and all the principal did, who was also LDS and wore the temple garments, was transferred that student out of his class. Well, he was eventually caught after multiple reports by a tutor of his, and then a janitor walked into his classroom after school, and he was in there alone doing what he does, and then he was also arrested at a school, a public park, and ordered to take an AIDS test. So he was a guy, but so where it relates to the LDS Church is when I went on a mission, I confessed the sin of homosexuality as a an answer to the standard question: have you ever had a homosexual relationship? And I said, yeah, and I told my bishop about it. And this was in 1987. My bishop sent me on my mission, and he continued to teach for... It was in 1992 that he was released from his job. Yet, he was never excommunicated or disfellowshipped by his bishop. In fact, when I confronted him about a year ago, and I'm 48 now, so it can, it just speaks to how long these kinds of injuries can last. I went and knocked on his door and talked to his wife, who said that they had been working in the temple for 12 years. And so I've tried to call my bishop and just try to get details. Whatever did you do once I reported him? And he didn't really want to give me any details. He just basically told me that what I need to do is fall down on my knees in my closet and pour my heart out to God and ask him what he would have me do.
Just what Richard Scott said in that 1992 conference address. Did you hear that that audio?
I did. It's been a long time, but yeah, I it sounds very much like he was saying.
We played it at the beginning of the program. I think I'll have our producer play it again after the next break.
I knew Richard Scott. I was friends with his son.
Wow.
Yeah, his son was caught several times for stealing checks and cashing them, his neighbor's checks, and recently his name is David Scott. He's got a felony fraud record, and even now, like within the last few years, he was caught again. But yeah, he stole checks out of his next door neighbor's house and cashed them at the bank. And I never went into the bank with him because I was too scared.
Wow.
But he gave me money.
Randy, can you hang on over the break? We'll be right back.
Sure.
The Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information. This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
All righty, this is Deanna, and we are back, and we have Randy.
Yeah.
Yep. So anyway, we are going to play that audio. It's about a minute and a half, but anyway, his kid was stealing, and go ahead. Did you have some more to add to?
No, I pretty much gave you the okay. General idea.
Okay. Well, bless your heart. Yeah, it's been tough for a lot of members, and yeah. And it's hard to get over some of those things.
Yeah, especially when you feel like a lack of accountability. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's part of the mentality, and it's part of the leadership, and that's the way they handle things.
Yeah.
Sorry you were exploited.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Alrighty, let's go ahead and play that audio again. And listeners, listen closely. And this is an apostle that is telling all the Mormons in Mormondom how to handle things.
Adversity, even when caused willfully by others' unrestrained appetite, can be a source of growth when viewed from the perspective of eternal principle. The victim must do all in his or her power to stop the abuse. Most often the victim is innocent because of being disabled by fear or the power or authority of the offender. At some point in time, however, the Lord may prompt a victim to recognize a degree of responsibility for abuse. Your priesthood leader will help you assess your responsibility so that if needed, it can be addressed. Otherwise, the seeds of guilt will remain and sprout into bitter fruit. Yet no matter what degree of responsibility, from absolutely none to increasing consent, the healing power of the atonement of Jesus Christ can provide a complete cure. Forgiveness can be obtained for all involved in abuse.
Well,
every time I hear it, I just get sick to my stomach. I just want to cry.
Yeah.
I want to cry for every victim that
has a 5-year old because of that belief to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is coming from the pulpit at a conference addressed to every Mormon. It is amazing. Now, you earlier, Kim, you were talking about the guilt that you felt that you weren't fulfilling your callings appropriately, that you weren't a good mother, and there's a lot of guilt in Mormondom. And also, something that is very interesting, Mormons are not supposed to refuse or reject a calling. And as soon as you are baptized, if you're an adult, you're going to get a calling. In other words, they're going to call you as a visiting teacher or a home teacher, or they're going to call you to teach a class or to do something like that. And the implication is that this calling is from God. So if you reject it, you're rejecting God. And so you have to accept these things. And we're talking about moms who might have 6 kids and have a very active husband that is gone all the time. And she's supposed to not only take care of the family, oftentimes single-handedly, but that woman is supposed to also prepare for teaching a class and doing all the other things, keeping up with all the Mormons that she feels, the other women, keeping up with those other sisters who probably have this perfect life. And when Mormons are sitting there in sacrament meeting, they don't know what's going on in other people's families, but they assume, oh, gosh, the Jones family, they're just wonderful. Look how nice all those kids are sitting there. They're so wonderful. And you're always comparing yourself to other sisters in the ward, other women in the ward. And you always come up short. You always come up short.
Do. And you know, it's interesting. My husband brought to my attention just the other day. I'll let you go.
Okay,
we'll
talk about
it when we come back.
3 minutes. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The 5 tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-3000. 2001.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Deanna, and remember, you can call into the program. First six numbers are 512-716. Then you may finish by dialing 1603 or 1883 or 1897. Kim, you were talking about your husband.
I often do. He mentioned to me not too long ago, and we were having a discussion similar to this, that not only are you told that you can't turn down a calling, but you're also, as a female, you aren't asked first. Your husband has to be asked first. So when I was asked to do anything in the church, they had to ask if it was okay with my husband first.
So they had to talk to him first to see if it was okay with him.
If I took this calling.
And to heck with how you felt about it, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, and I'd always know a calling was coming because my husband would get called in and then he'd come home. And, yeah, they had to ask my husband first. Wow. I found that to be marginalizing.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. This website with all of the symptoms and something that we've talked about, the depression, is that in this book that I just I haven't quite finished it by Luna Lindsay, she talks about the depression and the fact that when you are in a cult, and you feel you're not your authentic self. You're just not your authentic self. So you're never going to be really in touch with who you really are. So you're going to feel depressed. You're going to feel, I wish I could find exactly where what she did say,
Woman doesn't... You're having to be who you're programmed to be. You're having to be what you're expected to be. So you're constantly having to put on a mask.
Right.
Which is making you feel like who you are isn't good enough and who you are is bad.
Because you said it perfectly.
Yeah. If you're contradicting that, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. I'm not... Why is everybody else so happy doing this? And I am not. Truth is, the majority of them are. They just don't realize it, and nobody talks about it.
Sure. Well, one of the symptoms is feeling like a stranger to yourself, wondering who the real you is.
Absolutely.
Number four.
Absolutely.
Doing all the things you've been told are necessary to be worthy of exaltation, yet feeling that you aren't growing as a person. You're trying to jump through all these hoops and forgetting about yourself. You're fulfilling the expectations of a leadership that is exploiting you for various reasons. And if you look at, I've been doing a lot of research on the corporate nature of the LDS Church, and we're talking big money.
Yep.
Billions.
A friend of mine who recently left the church said that when she sat down and went through all of her tithing receipts over the years that she was a member of the church, she could have paid cash for her house twice.
Yeah, because you're expected to pay tithing, and everybody in every member of the ward, even children, are expected to go to tithing settlement, usually in December, and then you have to confess to the bishop or write a check to catch up if you're behind. It's a very intimidating meeting. It's very intimidating. You can tell I've been there before.
Well, it's very intimidating. And should you need help, you know, we're supposed to be this
philanthropic.
Philanthropic religion and helping people. And it's all about helping our own and taking care of everybody. And there's this sense of, you know, love. And you go in and you ask your bishop for help because you've hit a bump in the road and you need some groceries or you need some help paying for your rent or your heat or whatever. So you go to him and ask for help. The first thing he asks you, are you paying your tithing? So then there's more guilt because, well, I haven't been able to pay tithing because I haven't been able to pay my bills. So then you feel horrible then and you have to disclose all that to somebody. And at the same time, you're having to then explain to him why you are not a full tithe payer and still need to get help. So the first thing he'll say is, well, you need to pay your tithing. When you pay your tithing, we can help you.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, Kim, is that they expect you to pay tithing before you pay anything else.
Anything else. Before you pay your rent, before you buy groceries for your family, before you pay your heating bill and your car payment and your insurance. So if you come short after you pay your tithing,
you eat pancakes or you eat mashed potatoes or you eat
peanut butter.
We ate a lot of peanut butter. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Do we have any callers? Nope. Let's look at this list some more. Let's see. Feeling that you're just not good enough no matter how hard you try or how much you sacrifice. No matter how much tithing you pay, somehow. Oh, and on top of tithing, there's fast offerings.
Yeah.
Okay, so in addition to tithing, which is 10%, you are expected to pay fast offerings, which usually does not amount to much. You're supposed to fast for 24 hours, the money that you would have used to purchase food for your family, then you give that to the church. Now, they no longer have, what is it? They can do anything they want with the money. It all goes into one big account, and they can do
well. And what I found interesting too is it's not anonymous. If you have that, they have what they call a fast Sunday once a month, where you're fasting, and that's when you're supposed to be making your fast offering. They send these young boys, these young priesthood holders, to the homes to collect your fast offering.
In case you don't show up to church, or in case you forgot.
In case you forget, yes.
Yes, in case
they show up at your home.
Holy cow. Feeling, believing that you must endure to the end, no matter what, in order to prove your worthiness to God. And that's how true that is. Mm-hmm. I mean, no matter what happens to you, you're supposed to just, hey, chin up, put your shoulder to the wheel, and just move on, right?
Right. You're not supposed to have weakness. You're not supposed to be upset about it. You're not supposed to struggle or let anybody see that you're struggling. You're supposed to be stronger than that and just carry on. I remember all the time feeling like I was such a wuss because life would get hard and I would struggle. And if I talked to anybody, I felt like I was just complaining.
Sure.
And I felt guilty all the time. I felt small. I felt alone. I felt alone.
And here's number 11, which you just explained, being very critical of yourself, frequently, mentally, beating yourself up, self-loathing.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, have I felt that from time to time.
Mm-hmm. And I think that somebody was talking about other religions, and I think that probably the Mormon Church is, and I've talked to other people of other faiths, I've been to other faiths, and I think that the Mormon Church is probably the only one I've seen that does that depth of guilt on your, makes you feel so bad about yourself all the time because you're never measuring up, no matter what, in every aspect. Every aspect, as a mom, because all of these other moms are doing it right, and they're all able to carry their callings, and they're able to take care of their husband, and they're able to, and so then your callings are failing, and if you're not doing your callings right, then your home life is failing, and it's a horrible circle and a horrible cycle that we go through constantly, and I have never seen that when I've talked to other people of other faiths. They don't carry that kind of guilt.
Somebody in the chat room also brought up the building fund.
Yeah.
That, like, if there's a temple that's being built or something, that you're supposed to chip in further. This one person in the chat room said that she was asked to pay $300, and she was a single parent. Mm-hmm. I mean, I heard recently too that they were asking for, I can't remember which country, but they were asking for all of these from a poor country, and they were asking for things that they have no business asking for with the billions that they take in. And I understand, I've been told, that they take in $8 billion a year just in tithing. Now, we don't know that because they have not revealed or released tithing receipt or tithing revenue figures since April of 1959. So nobody really knows. Nobody really knows.
They hide under their exempt status.
Yes. Okay. I'm supposed to remind you, and it's a good reminder. The listeners can listen by phone. All you have to do is, and you can listen to the archives there. Phone, and you can use your Android, whatever that is. That number is 712-432-7234 or 605-562-5111 or 712-775-6827. That's Android only. I don't I don't do a cell phone. I'm so behind. I'm so behind, but it's okay. I just... Alrighty, so... anyway, yes. Do be sure and listen to the archives. The other thing, too, is we talked about all the money. Let's see. Feeling that God has not... This is the one that I suffered so much from. Feeling that God has not forgiven you for all of your sins, despite having spent a lot of time praying, fasting, reading the scriptures. How many people have felt like they've been so bad that...
Well, you expect this magic blanket to cover you and make you feel, because they tell you, you'll feel this, what is the description, this burning in the bosom, and
right.
You'll feel this warmth, and you'll know you've been forgiven. And when that never happens, because there's no such magic blanket, then you constantly feel like the bad person that's never going to be forgiven and that will
sure.
constantly be fighting that bad thing that you may have done just because you're a human being.
Because they expect such perfection. How can this, if you've committed some sort of sin, I mean, you're having a hard time keeping up with this perfection stuff anyway, let alone throwing in actual sins.
Well, and what if it isn't a big sin? What if it's become something that the church makes you feel is a big sin, but is not? And then you carry that around for the rest of your life. I know last year they came out with the homosexuality statement. And so here are these young people committing suicide because they feel like they're so sinful because they recognize themselves in the LGBTQ community. And it's not a sin, but they think it's a sin because that's what they're being told and that their families are going to disown them.
And families do.
Yes,
families
and because their families have told
people.
Them to. They've
yes.
told them to.
Yes.
And how heartbreaking is that to carry that around as
exactly.
a young person?
Exactly. Oh, we have a caller. Let's take Mike in Kentucky. Mike, welcome.
It's been about, I'd say, 26 or 7 years ago that I was pressured to take the talks and, you know, go explore the church, and I did a half hour, ended up having using it as material for a half hour documentary when I was in school for a video production class, and some of the very basic problems with Mormonism just totally trashed their whole premise. The concept of tithing, of course, 10% out of everything first, you know, that sort of thing, you know, is fairly valid, seen across most Christianity, that your first fruits go to them. And there's a few things that are, but then, you know, we're not to seek for him in the inner rooms. If you read the New Testament, he's not there. He's not in the inner rooms of the old temple. He's not in the inner rooms of the Mormon temple. The whole concept that he had to come over here to distribute the gospel to the people of America is falls flat when he didn't go to other isolated populations to distribute the gospel. There's things like, of course, the New Testament very briefly mentions baptism for the dead, but when it does, it's talking about some other group of people. It's not talking about
exactly.
It's talking about some third other group of people, I think that it's in Corinthians, and he's writing to the Corinthians. And the whole chapter, he's talking about you and me and I and we. And at the very last, he says, what else do they do, some other third group of people, that baptize for them? And then immediately he turns and says, why are we in jeopardy every hour? So he's not talking about the Christians that do that, but he is using that as an example that, yes, the dead rise, you know. So, you know, that even these other non-Christians believe that the dead rise, so that's why they baptize for the dead. But there's several basic things that you can use to deprogram anybody that actually reads the Bible. Now, Joseph Smith translated the Bible, and you think, well, okay, you know, his premise is that the Book of Mormon is the most correct book on the earth, and he ends up, when he translates the New Testament, he ends up correcting the Book of Mormon because it's wrong. That's so funny when you can read, you can go through the Joseph Smith translation, and I think it's John 7:1 where it says, judge not lest you be not judged, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he retranslates that into this whole huge paragraph. But you go look in, I guess, 3 Nephi or whatever it is, the Book of Mormon, that is not corrected. It's left as judge. I think it even says, verily, verily, I say, judge not, let you be not judged. And then the Book of Mormon.
Mike, could you stay over? We're going to a quick
thing. Yeah, sure. Here, I got one more thing that got me completely out of it.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Today is Kim. Has been Kim. I can't believe we're almost the show's almost over. I can't believe it.
Mike, went really fast.
It did. Mike, you had another point.
Yeah, I was talked into going and you know, to see what their services are like and all that sort of stuff. And one Sunday they didn't have a teacher for like the I think it was the 10 to 14 year old Sunday school class. So they pulled me in and they said, hey, come up with something, you know. And so I decided, since I had talked with the missionaries, I would teach the Lord's Prayer and the structure of the Lord's Prayer. And these kids were smart enough, they grabbed the Book of Mormon, and they said, well, how come it's not the same here in the Book of Mormon? And I had totally glossed over that section and missed that it didn't have give us this day our daily bread and thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's missing from the Lord's Prayer. And so I'm like, don't know. Well, that's kind of odd, because Joseph Smith is teaching that this book is the most perfect book on earth, and you'll get nearer to God with. And so I had no answer for him, and I had to go start looking for what the problems were with why is that not in there. That's like the most basic thing for a Christian to learn, and the Mormon book has got it completely wrong. I went to the local library, and I started finding that there was old versions of the book that's been corrected. The map, the Western progression. The Saints' Western progression maps and the older books left out the little backtrack that they did from Nauvoo back to Illinois, I think, where Joseph Smith was killed by the angry mob, and he's thrown up his hands in a Masonic distress signal, sign of the square, and they still killed him.
He killed two people before they killed him. He had a gun that was taken in, smuggled in, and he killed two people. If you're a real martyr like Stephen in the New Testament, who was rocked to death, they stoned him. And they rocked him to sleep. That's supposed to be a joke. But anyway, they stoned him. He didn't stone him back, okay? Yeah, but Joseph Smith, he had his six shooter, and he killed two people.
Well, in the New Testament, of course, it also tells you he tells the apostles, to take money and buy two swords. I don't think we're not really supposed to be defenseless martyrs. He's already been the sacrifice. So he went to the cross and died and was resurrected. So I don't really think we're supposed to be defenseless martyrs early Christians were. He tells them right there to go buy two swords, and they come and show it to him. And even if you have to buy your even after you sell your cloak and your robe or something, you're still supposed to be able to defend yourself. So
that becomes
a priority even before you pay tithes. After you follow that, you the first priority is to be able to defend yourself as a Christian, so the faith doesn't die out. Everybody was coming after them. Paul was assigned to kill Christians. There's no telling how many he killed before he met the light on the road to Damascus. Which plenty of people have problems with Paul's teachings,
We're running out of time.
Yeah. So well, my documentary's out on the internet if you want to find it. So.
Okay, shoot me an email. Hey, Kim, thank you so much
for
being on the program today. It's been delightful having you on, and we'll have to
thank
do this
you
again
for
because,
me.
Boy, we've got a lot more ammunition.
Yes, we do. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you next week.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.